All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. 1 hour of straight hockey talk with Dan, Rick, and Tyler and Bag Milk starts now.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Oilers Nation Radio, episode 150. It is a free agency emergency podcast. As we speak today, it is Wednesday at about 1 o'clock. Here in Edmonton, lots to get to, lots to talk about. First, I want to shout out our friends at Sherwood Ford, the Giants. Follow them on Twitter at Sherwood Ford, on Instagram at Sherwood Ford _ the Giants. Still looking outside, no Bronco. And today we have got a jam-packed edition of Oilers Nation Radio. I invited the entire squad in here. And we got a lot of people who are going to give some takes. So I'm Bag Milk. Wozniak, Matt Woz is on the boards today. He's a producer. Nation Dan here. Rick is at the Mark Spector Golf Tournament, though he is in the mix. Zach Lang here. Is here. Coomzee is here and checking in from his vacation. Tyler Yaremchuk is reporting in from a deck somewhere in BC. We have got a packed house here, gentlemen. My question, I'm going to start this off with the Sherwood Ford Giant question of the week. Let's just start off with the story we've all been talking about for weeks now. Zach Hyman officially in. Zach had it up first thing this morning. 7 years, $5.5 million per. I will start off with Nation Network News Director Zachary Lang. Your thoughts on the deal first, my friend.
Yeah, first off the top, I like the deal. I like the contract. You know, the Oilers go 7 years, $5.5 million on the contract. So they give up a little bit of AAV by stretching out the term of the deal. I actually like the way the contract is structured too. I think it's got some ability in there for some flexibility for the Oilers down the road. And I think that's really important for the team too. It's Rick.
Mute your mic, Rick. They're ordering drinks.
Rick is ordering drinks at the Spector Golf Tournament right now. He is not
Rick is not interested in what Zach has to say.
Absolutely.
I was saying hi to
We will make sure that Rick is well hydrated.
Holy
Rick,
shit.
Back on me, please. Zach, this is a horrible idea already. Let's go. Zach,
back in the saddle. Yeah, I like the contract. I like the way that it's structured. So, you know, there's some signing bonuses towards the end of the deal, but the Oilers still have the ability to buy out the last 2 years or the last year of the contract if that's something they choose to do. So, yeah, sure, you know, they're not going to save a whole bunch of money, but if Hyman, you know, collapses as a player in the final year or two of his deal, the Oilers have a reasonable out to save a little bit of money there. I'm really high on Hyman. I think he's going to come into Edmonton and be exactly what the Oilers need and exactly what they're looking for. Obviously, you know, there's some concern with the term on it, and you know, there's the ghosts of Milan Lucic past that, of course, is concerning for a lot of people. But I think Hyman's a bit of a different player than Lucic was, and I expect him to play at a higher level for a longer amount of time.
Yaremchuk, we're checking in with you on a patio in BC, buddy. You cannot get away on vacay without talking a little bit of Oilers. Welcome.
No, yeah, the itch is alive. I woke up this morning and I was like, I'm not going to do much vacationing. I'm going to focus on hockey talk. And I'm going to agree with Zach on this one. I love the Hyman deal. I think when you look at the available free agents, he was, you know, on paper, probably the best fit for this top six. He forechecks like a demon. I think every sort of section of the fan base is really going to love this guy. And they got it done for under $6 million, $5.5 million. Would have been nice to have it at like an even $5 million if they would have upped the term to 8 years. I wish Toronto would have played a little bit more ball there. But at the end of the day, when you're shopping for a free agent, you know you're going to have to pay more because you're not giving up hard assets, right? So the fact that they were able to get this guy on a deal and add him for basically nothing but money, I think it's a dream fit. I think it makes their top six a lot more dangerous.
Dan?
Yeah, look, when Leaf fans are watching a player leave and they're upset to see that happen, that's a good sign for the team that's acquiring that player. Oiler fans, we do tend to look at the totality of a contract and kind of overreact to that, I guess. Zach Hyman makes the Edmonton Oilers better in 2021, 2022, 2023, and 2024, likely, with the term of Draisaitl and McDavid's contracts playing out until then. That's all that matters at this point. Let the next GM or the next GM worry about the rest of that contract for now. The Oilers are better with Zach Hyman on this team.
I'm going to check in with our correspondent in Toronto, Coombsy, Zach Hyman. Tell me about it.
So one thing nobody's mentioned yet, and I think this is key, is that the Zach Hyman acquisition by the Oilers, him signing here as a free agent, is nice ammunition for every single time a Leafs fan says that Connor McDavid is going to bolt to his hometown Toronto Maple Leafs when his contract is finished, or demand a trade. Now we can throw that back in their face and say that one of your own Toronto native from the Eglinton area wanted to go out west. So we can throw that back at them, which is nice. I imagine Zach got sick of walking around on Thursday garbage day in the hot sun when it smells really bad, and he wanted to move to a place with fresher air. So that's a good one there. And I'll echo the same sentiment you guys all had. Zach Hyman, I mean, I pay a decent amount of attention to the Leafs, unfortunately, and he's quite good. He's really found a nice niche playing alongside Austin Matthews specifically. He was the guy that forechecked for Matthews, went in front of the net, banged in a bunch of rebounds. He was also a great penalty killer. I mean, we all know the contract's going to look bad later on in the end, but as Dan said, so long as they get really good 1, 2, 3 years and it helps them win right now when their key guys are in their prime, that's what we all want to see. And I don't know, I think Hyman's one of the better fits available on the market, and I'm glad that it happened. It's a hell of a lot of money, but I don't know. He earned it. He's had a lot of good seasons. Is what it is. Welcome
to the golf, to the golf course at the Mark Spector Golf Tournament. Rick checking in with some golf course analysis.
Well, you guys nailed it on the head there. It's we're in a win now type of situation, so you gotta buckle down and pay for what you gotta do right now. 4 years, 5 years from now, who knows what happens? Salary cap goes up, so its percentage of cap's gonna go down. For today, I do think we have a better team right now. That's all you can ask for.
It's a little windy out there, Rick.
Holy.
Is it?
Not even that windy.
Golfing in a tornado.
Rick is checking in from a tornado. So he has given his Hyman golf takes. A little breezy out here in the capital city today. Does anybody have a take on Hyman that they don't like the deal? Like for me, I'm with everybody in the set. I like it. For now, we can worry about what happens in year 5, 6, 7 later. You know, it's kicking the can down the road a little bit, but what it does without question is help the Oilers today. Does anybody have a take where it's they don't like it? Might be
the easier. The only concern that I have, and there's quite a few Leafs fans who have kind of said something similar, is there's worry with the injuries. It was during the playoffs. I think it was one of the times they lost to Boston, one of the 7 times that happened. I think he tore his ACL. I can't remember 100% what it was, but he had knee surgery and he plays a very physical style. So there is a bit of concern that this might crater pretty quickly. Like, we don't know how many good years we're going to get out of Hyman just because physical style, bad knees already, but yeah.
The only thing I'd add to that is like, if it's injuries that derail it, like, I mean, we're watching Tampa Bay right now acquire every LTIR player in the world, right? Like if Hyman gives you 2 good years or 3 good years and his knees blow out and he's like, shit, I can't play anymore. Like, that's kind of why LTIR exists. Like, him getting injured in the back half of that deal, you know, you can almost get out of it easily in that sense because you just LTIR him. I guess the concern would be that, you know, he goes down consistently in these first few years when you want him to be productive. So I'll agree with Cam on that. Like, the one big concern would be that this guy just doesn't stay healthy.
Waz, I'll give you the last word on Zach Hyman. Your thoughts?
The overall was a pretty good signing in general. I think, yeah, my only concern is that if the injuries tend to reoccur a bit. But other than that, I think he's the ideal top six winger that the Oilers need right now.
I'm excited, man. I think this is going to be a good fit. Like, if you just look at the reactions, yes, there's the injury concerns. Yes, the contract's long, all that. But if you look at the reaction from Leafs fans losing Hyman today, they lost a good player and a team and a fan favorite. And I just got a feeling that this is the kind of player that this city will love, especially his work ethic. He can score a little bit. He's tenacious on the puck. That is the makings of a player that this city loves. Speaking of a player this city loves, well, he is on the way out today, gentlemen. This was the one that kind of kicked the hornet's nest on Twitter this morning. Ethan Bear is going to the Carolina Hurricanes, has been traded to the Carolina Hurricanes for McLovin. Warren Fogle is coming in. And for me, bright side of this deal is we get to use all the McLovin GIFs and pictures on Twitter throughout the season and coming seasons with Fogle. But the cost of losing Bear, that's a tough one. I'll start off with Tyler here. What do you think about losing Ethan Bear?
I don't like it. I think, again, it's another deal here, and it goes in line with the Duncan Keith deal where you like adding the player. Like, Warren Fogle's good. I'm also happy to have Duncan Keith, but it's just another example of poor asset management by Ken Holland. As you have a young right shot D-man who clearly has top four upside. The guy's been playing almost 20 minutes a night for the first 2 years in his career. You trade him for a guy who, when you look at the Oilers depth chart with Nuge, Hyman, and then Fogle, Fogle's not going to be more than a third line winger for you. He kills penalties. You know, he forechecks hard. I get it. He's going to be that style of player that you want to have in your bottom six. And for years, the Oilers have struggled to get goals from their bottom six. So hopefully he can help there. But you traded a young, cost-controlled, right-shot D-man that you drafted late and developed, and you threw that out for a bottom six winger that you could have probably just went out and found somewhere in free agency. And he's not even signed. Like, it's not even like Fogle's on a bargain contract or anything. He's a pending RFA, or he's an RFA right now with arbitration rights. I just, the trade doesn't make sense. I'm happy they got Fogle, but sacrificing Ethan Bear is just, it's too much for me. And yes, they went out and got Cody Ceci. And I think Cody Ceci is a decent, you know, kind of third pairing shutdown D-man, but you're paying him $1.25 million more than you're paying Ethan Bear next year. So it costs you more money as well. It's just, again, I like the addition of CC. I like the addition of Fogle, but the subtraction of Bear is the bigger story. And they clearly lost this trade already.
Zach, you wrote the news story at OilersNation.com. I'm coming to you next. I'm with Tyler in the sense that I like Fogle, but the cost to get him was pretty dear, no?
I don't know, honestly. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm about as big of an Ethan Bear fan as there is in the Oilers universe. I think he's a tremendous defenseman. I already think he's a legitimate top four defenseman in the NHL. I love the way he plays the game. At the end of the day, you guys have to remember something else too. Ethan Bear has been having some issues with staying underweight or at a reasonable weight. And there's some motivation issues that have come up with Ethan Bear. So there is a need for, well, obviously the Oilers felt there was a need to move on from Ethan Bear as a player. I think when we break down the trade in a pure trade standpoint, I actually think the Oilers did pretty fair in getting good value back. I think Warren Fogle is a great player. He's a top nine winger. I think he's a guy who can grow a little bit too. You guys got to remember he's 25 years old, right? So he's still a young player who's cost controlled as an RFA for a few more seasons. 6'2", 198 pounds. He scores at even strength. And I think what's most important too is that the Oilers actually have the ability now to run three scoring lines and have three effective scoring lines. Let's see what happens with trying to bring in a third line center here. But I think purely from that standpoint, there was some good value. Obviously, I would much rather have Ethan Bear than Cody Ceci on the back end right now. But I think it's about as good of a deal as I think Edmonton could have done. And honestly, better than I expected from them.
I just want to quickly jump in on that point you made early, Zach. There were some pretty loud rumblings early this season in training camp that the organization was very, very disappointed, I think is the right word to use, with how Ethan Bear showed up to camp. And after the offseason where he kind of shredded all that weight and he came in looking so good, and that was a big story. There's been a couple of moments now where they've been not happy with maybe how he's handled himself off the ice training wise. So that is a good point to bring up. Maybe they do think he's a guy who's already maybe hit his ceiling in that regard, in terms of, like, you know, motivation. I don't like that word, because I don't like painting a pro athlete as someone who lacks motivation, but maybe the Oilers just know a little bit about the personality and go, you know, maybe he doesn't have that ability to take his game to a legit top pairing level at any point.
And I think that's something we have to all keep in mind too, right? Like, at the end of the day, yes, Ethan Bear is a good player when he's on. He's shown he can play top pairing minutes with Darnell Nurse in that season that he came into camp looking really good. You know, and in turn, I think the Oilers have done fine in bringing back a player that can grow with the Oilers. He plays, Fogle plays a heavy style of hockey. He doesn't mind getting physical, and that's the style that Dave Tippett loves from his wingers.
Kimsey, I see you've got a digital hand up on the Bear for Fogle trade. What do you got?
Yeah, I wanted to say something kind of about the Bear in shape thing. I didn't really remember hearing stories about that coming into this season, but one thing we should also touch on is his season this year was fairly mediocre. He wasn't anywhere near as good as he was in his full rookie year last year, when he kind of came and captured the spot out of camp and then filled in when Adam Larson was hurt. But this year, remember, early in February, he got hit in the head with a puck on the bench and suffered a concussion. So I don't want to be too critical of whatever he's got going on now, because you don't know the lingering effects of the concussion and what that means for maintaining your conditioning, right? So one thing I kind of don't love about this deal is it does feel like they sold low on a player after a mediocre season. And we've seen this. I mean, everyone on Twitter has brought this up, because we've seen it before, right? Jeff Petrie wasn't good enough because he had a ho-hum season, traded him away because they had Justin Schultz. Then Justin Schultz wasn't good enough, traded him away. And then, you know, same thing, Ethan Bear, it's, you know, the same kind of pattern. You have a youngish, imperfect right-hand defenseman that's pretty good at moving the puck, imperfect player, whatever, but they end up going and being really good somewhere else. And it's, you know, it's not the exact same thing as the Petrie and Schultz trade. It's not like you're getting back a third round pick or whatever it was like you did with those guys. Like, Fogle's a pretty good player, so it's something. But to me, this does scream like they saw Bear have a mediocre season. They're like, yeah, we're going to give up on this guy, which is something that hasn't worked out for them in the past.
We're going to the wind tunnel. Rick, checking in on the golf course.
I get it. I understand where you guys are coming from with that, but I think that they did not want the dynamic of Bear, Barry, Bouchard. Once they figured out, once Larson left, I think that it threw a wrench in their plans and they had to change things up. And they knew that Bear, Barry, Bouchard, as I think everybody on this phone call would probably admit, that's probably not the greatest, especially if you don't bring in another shutdown Larson type on the left side. That's what kind of forced their hand at the Bear thing. And yes, Bear has definitely had now two incidences where he came in out of shape. The first one, then he came back second year looking really good. Third one, or last year's, came in not great shape, man. That shows something to what your team is going to be. If you're looking at a player going forward, I'm not so sure the rest of the team wants to be there. What if Connor saw him like that? What if Leon saw him like that? Why do you want to bring him along? I get it. However, what I'm going to say right now is I instead of looking at the people who are like upset Bear is leaving, I'm looking at the Carolina fans who are upset about Fogle leaving and trying to find the positives out of him. I do believe that what he's going to add to our middle six is probably going to be a big step. And I get it. You're moving similar types of players, similar age, similar salaries, kind of from a defenseman to a forward. And I think they obviously we have a hole now down our right side, at least in the long run. Barry's in for three, Cease's in for two or four. Bouchard here, we're hoping he's here till 2050 or whatever the hell. I get it. I understand why we'd be upset about losing a guy like Bear, but I think what we're going to see overall will be a step up. So I believe this team has taken a step forward in terms of regular season and playoffs, and therefore I think it's the way we need to go. I get it. It sucks losing players. I don't want to pump my tires, but I was one of the first on board with Bear. I bought the jersey the second it was allowed to be bought in that weird third jersey thing we bought, just to prove that it's behind the guy. But, you know, there's a lot of people out there saying that Warren Fogle is going to bring a lot to us. So if you can solidify that top nine, Hyman, you know, obviously solidifying the top six. If we have a legit top nine, I think our bottom end is fine. Goaltending scares the shit out of me right now. But outside the crease, I think we're a better team than we were 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago when we made the Keith trade.
Dan, you're next up. I saw you talking about Ethan Bear on the old tweet machine. What do you got?
Yeah, so for me, I take umbrage with what Rick is saying, and he's not alone in saying that, you know, as soon as Larson left the team, things changed and the position changed. And that's fair. But the team wasn't confident with Barry, Bouchard, and Bear on the right side. Tyson Barry wasn't a member of the Edmonton Oilers. We kept saying that we weren't comfortable with Tyson Barry on that side. So why not go and replace Adam Larson instead of putting Tyson Barry on that side? It doesn't make sense to me. I think that fans are trying to justify the loss of Bear, and I get it, because I too am trying to justify that. My thought was maybe Ethan Bear didn't want to be an Edmonton Oiler anymore, and that might have been fair as well, seeing as he took some racist comments after the Edmonton Oilers were eliminated from the playoffs. You could understand that, as Coom mentioned, you know, struggled as a player this year to meet his standard that he had created the year before. But for me, the Oilers didn't need to make the transaction to bring in Cody Ceci to replace Ethan Bear. And therefore, when you're worse on defense than when you started the day, when you had Ethan Bear on your team, that's frustrating to me.
I'm frustrated with the Ethan Bear trade, because I think that it's not often you get... I'm excited about Warren Fogle, by the way. I think that he's going to add a lot into the top nine. He's going to add scoring. We complain about depth scoring on this podcast incessantly. Almost every episode, we complain about depth scoring. Fogle is going to help address that. However, losing a right-handed defenseman that's team-controlled for a little bit, cheaper, that's tough. That's a, like,
hey, if said, that's we a take, big cost. If we take team control out of it, is there that much of a difference of on-ice player today or last game with the NHL season?
Zach, what do the numbers kind of say if you're comparing Bear to CC directly?
Bear's definitely a more well-rounded defenseman, straight up. Like, I mean, Bear has much more positive impacts in the offensive zone than CC does. You know, I would compare CC to more or less like a replacement level defenseman in the NHL. So, you know, I think for him too, you know, his most success has come in the last 2 years playing in Toronto and Pittsburgh. Obviously, he had that 6-year stint in Ottawa, and they were asking him to play top pairing minutes, and he got absolutely crushed in Ottawa. Since he's kind of, you know, been relegated to more of a second, third pairing role, he's holding his own well, but he struggles against elite competition. And I think that's the biggest issue for Cody Ceci. So, you know, for him, I think for the Oilers to put him in the best position to succeed, it's probably sheltered minutes for CC, and they're not really paying him to play sheltered minutes. So my
CC was not.
Sorry, go ahead.
Finish up.
I was just going to say, I think, you know, the Oilers have the mindset right now that their defense is going to look like, you know, Darnell Nurse and Barry on the top pair, Duncan Keith and Cody CC on the second, and then the third pairing of Chris Russell / William Lagesson and Evan Bouchard. And I don't think that's a very good defense in terms of trying to stop the bleeding defensively, which is the biggest issue the Oilers had last year. And that's something we all got to remember too.
In the last couple of days, though, I heard that CC's level of the competition was spread out pretty evenly amongst everybody, from the bottom to the mids to the highs, and that he had decent numbers. Are those comparable to what, and I don't know if it's the exact same charts and the same people, blah, blah, blah. But does Bear play exactly the same against the high level as CC does? Because from what I understood, in Pittsburgh.
Okay, and now Rick went on mute. So I think I know what you're getting at there, buddy. But yeah, I think
very good job that one.
Yeah, like
no, I meant to go on mute of that.
Oh, okay. Well, you totally cut out there.
Let's just talk about Cody Ceci then, because he's obviously he was brought into, I don't know if he's replacing Bear or Larson or whatever, however you want to look at it, 4 years by 3.25. I don't think he's as good as Larson, first of all. I think the replacing Ethan Bear is questionable, but that's where we're at. Tyler, what do you think about this deal for Cody Ceci?
Yeah, I kind of like what Zach was saying there, and I trust Zach's ability to look into kind of the numbers on this stuff as well. He's a guy who, if the deal was for 2 years at $2 million per, I'd go, hey, this guy's going to come in and be a pain in the ass for the other team's forwards, and he can be a good third-pairing D-man. The issue is you're paying him to be a second-pairing D-man, and I get a little bit nervous because, you know, Zach talks about, you know, trying to shelter his minutes. The problem with the way the Oilers' blue line is typically pushed onto the ice is Connor McDavid is on the ice when Darnell Nurse and Tyson Barrie are there. And that usually means that whoever's that second pairing, which will likely be Keith and Ceci, they're not going to have Connor McDavid on the ice to kind of help the flow of the play go the other way and to, you know, keep the puck in the other team's end. He might be going out there, you know, at times with the fourth line or the third line. And I get we're improving the depth and things like that. But, and I mean, there's also probably a Leon Draisaitl line in there, but I just get a little bit worried that a Ceci Keith pair will get hemmed in their own end a little bit too often and not have the ability necessarily to get the puck out like they need to. That's my big concern with Ceci, is just that they paid a lot of money for kind of a one-dimensional defenseman, and it's not great. Like, I worry it's going to age like the Eric Goodbranson deal did, where you're always trading him around and things like that.
Your thoughts on Ceci? We saw
kind of basically what the Oilers have done here is they've re-emulated
Leafs defense.
Yes, the 2019-20 Toronto Maple Leafs defense, and I don't think any of us sit here and think, oh, geez, that's the team I want to emulate. That team's blue line was a clusterfuck. And Cody Ceci, who was quite good last year, he actually was. He wasn't Adam Larson-level shutdown good, but him and Mike Matheson played on the second pairing for the Penguins, and the two of them as a pair had an on-ice goal differential of 21-13. They logged like 18 minutes a game in all situations. Pretty good. But so, I mean, there's reason to believe that perhaps now that Ceci's been out of the mess that was the Ottawa Senators and also the bit of the mess that was Toronto, he spent a year in Pittsburgh, maybe he got a bit better. But I don't know. If you look at it just big picture, it's like, these are your top two right-handed defenders, Barrie and Ceci. And we've seen this before. It wasn't very good. So we really do have to hope that the Penguins unlock something with Ceci and he's figured out a new game. He's got something. He's a little bit older. He's a little bit more experienced. We really have to hope that's the case, because him taking on Larson's role, which is arguably the most difficult role in Edmonton's blue line, because Tyler said, you know, Nurse plays a lot of minutes with the top forwards. I mean, that second pairing with Keith, they're going to be seeing like a lot of really good opposing competition. So Ceci's going to have a big year for this team. Otherwise, what's the fallback net? You're going to have to throw Evan Bouchard up there. Because now that Bear's gone, there isn't really much to fall back on. Like, well, what's the next right-handed guy? Like Philip Berglund? There isn't anywhere else to go.
Well, what if they think Bouchard is ahead of, like, what if they think Bouchard is like a 2.5 RD right now? Like, not quite a three, a bit above a three. Like, do you see like a bit of a him and CC just eating up the rest of the minutes, like in a situation 50-50? Would that not be?
What we could see is, I mean, if Evan Bouchard takes a huge step forward this year, maybe we see him play on the second pair with Duncan Keith, and there's, you know, two guys. Keith plays hard in the defensive zone, and then you have Bouchard, he moves the puck effectively, and then all of a sudden your third pair is Russell / Lagesson and Ceci, which maybe isn't that bad. I think Ceci, if he's playing 16, 17 minutes a game on that shutdown pair, just worrying about the defensive zone, it's not terrible. So there's ways this could work out, but I do think actually a big X factor is how good is Evan Bouchard this year?
Speaking about X factors, how I see a time limit here, 3 minutes left on this podcast. What does that mean?
I don't know. I've never had that pop up before.
No, I think it'll stop after
40 minutes.
Is it actually, or is it going to automatically?
Zoom stops after 40 minutes unless you've never. So if you have an account and this is your first time recording something, they'll give you a free extra unlimited thing.
Oh,
but otherwise we'll have to start a new call.
Well, we'll see what happens here in 2 minutes and 37 seconds.
I enjoyed
one of
that is very much the way we do things.
Well, this will be this could be a 6-part podcast here. But first, while I've got a couple of minutes here before the break, this might be a perfect time just to say, hey, Bixler's Jewelers, they're part of this here podcast. If you go to bixlers.com, they've been around since 1785, Coombsy. Can you believe it? maybe you want a NHL licensed engagement ring. Well, our friends at Bixler's are here to help. Anything you need.
Bag Milk, thank you for that good read in there. As Bag Milk mentioned, they do have officially licensed jewelry for you to purchase for yourself. And using the promo code BixlersNation10, you get yourself 10% off of NHL licensed gear until the end of this month. So you got a couple more days. And congratulations for listening to our emergency podcast. You got yourself 10% off Bixler's jewelry. Get it now. Get it before the code is over at the end of this month. That's Bixlers_jewelers on Instagram and Bixlers1785 on Twitter.
I am now looking at this countdown clock. We've got a minute and 25 here. I don't even know where to go from here because I'm looking forward to seeing what happens. We've got maybe no time. We might have to start a new podcast. So I might just bullshit here for a couple of minutes. Looking around the league quickly, is there anything that really surprised you?
How about Laurent Brossoit getting the bag from Vegas?
Yes. Like,
why
did they feel the need to go $2.5 million or almost $2.5 million for 2 years? The Fleury trade was bananas.
But isn't $7 million for $7 million for your goaltenders is just fine, no?
It's not the worst.
Okay, but the problem taking him is that, like, how do you not, before you do that deal with Vegas, be like, hey, can we call him and, like, you know, make sure he's not going to retire if we acquire him or something like that? Like, it was just weird.
There's no way.
I meant $7 million for Vegas.
$7 million
for Vegas.
But
that's
like,
okay, right? No.
Yeah, $7.5 million for two goalies is fine. But like, it's Laurent Brossoit. Like, I feel like that's a guy who should be making like $1.5 million, maybe. I just felt like they overpaid for him for like no reason on day one of free agency when there's like 100 goalies on the market.
Oilers Nation Radio, episode 150. It is the emergency podcast. It's free agent day today. We talked about Zach Hyman. We talked about Cody Ceci. We talked about Bear trading. One thing I want to touch on quickly, Tyson Berry's back. 3 years, $4.5 million per. Very marginal raise over where he was at last year. Some Oilers fans very excited. If Josh T. Park was in here, he'd be pumped. Some very upset. I want to know where you guys are at. I will start off with Mr. Zachary Lang. You posted the article at OilersNation.com first thing this morning.
Thanks, Barry. Yeah, an interesting deal to say the least. You know, it's a shorter term deal, only 3 years, $4.5 million AAV. Look, it's clear that Tyson Barry is a very good offensive defenseman. He can push the pace offensively. He can help put up points and stuff like that. But, you know, the biggest concern, obviously, is his defensive game. He's not a very good defensive player. And for the Oilers, we saw last year that, you know, he played all of his time with Darnell Nurse on the top pairing, and they got stapled to the Connor McDavid line. And they played some chaotic, high-energy, very high-event hockey, and they still managed to outscore the opposition. So I guess in one sense of the term, that's a positive. However, in the same breath, they also had a really high PDO, so their luck was off the charts last year. And I don't know if that's something that the Oilers are going to be able to replicate again this season with Tyson Barry on the back end. So, you know, the other way you can look at it is, yeah, the Oilers just re-signed the top scoring defenseman in the NHL to a relatively team-friendly contract. But at the end of the day, you know, it's kind of hard for me to see the real benefits here when you have an Oilers defense that doesn't really have any right shot defensemen who are true shutdown type of defensemen that the Oilers need. Like I said in the first half of the show, you know, the Oilers' problem last year wasn't scoring goals at even strength. They scored the seventh most amount of them in the league, but they also gave up the 21st most even strength goals last year. And that's where the true issue lied for the Oilers. And Tyson Barry is going to help take that number down.
Also interesting to note that I know this isn't a visual podcast, but Zach has got a map of all the Wendy's in the city behind him right now. And we have a lot of Wendy's here. We are Wendy's rich here in the city.
That's right. We have a lot of Wendy's here, unlike Toronto, who has none.
Going to Toronto right now. Tyson Barry, Coombsy, what do you make of it?
I don't know. I don't mind it. I don't hate it. This is not something any of us expected. Like, I remember early in the offseason, it seemed like a foregone conclusion. It was like, okay, like, we'll thank Tyson Barry for his nice one-year show-me contract in which he scored a bunch of points, and we'll happily just re-sign Adam Larson. And then Adam Larson left, and everyone's like, oh, God. Like, it really does feel to me like they did think that Larson was going to re-sign, and then he didn't. And it really quite threw a wrench into everything. So now you've got Tyson Barrie here, and I don't really know exactly where he best fits on this blue line. Like, he seemed to generate some nice chemistry with Darnell Nurse, but I don't know. That line plays with Connor McDavid all the time, so it's hard not to do well. Is Tyson Barrie really the kind of player that's actually driving success? Because what you want to see from a D-man like that is, okay, Tyson Barrie's so good offensively, you can chuck him out there with your third line, and then they'll generate goals because this guy moves the puck so well, or he's so good in the offensive zone. But what he basically is just like a complimentary player that lines up alongside whoever your other good guys are. And I think they honestly already had that with Bear. And I think they might already have that with Bouchard if they didn't with Bear. So it's kind of a bizarre fit. I wish they had just focused on adding defensive guys. As Zach said, the Oilers need to allow fewer goals. I wish they had just spent the cap space on defensive guys to replace Larson's minutes. And Barrie does not do that.
Tyler, coming to you. Tyson Barrie, 3 years.
Yeah, like you guys both touched on, you've kind of covered every base with it. You're getting the guy who led the NHL in scoring by a defenseman who was, you know, a fairly big part of the number one power play in the league last season. Like, there's a lot of reasons to like Tyson Barrie coming back. The puck moving, his ability to make outlet passes. I like all of that in his game. But again, like I heard Ryan Rashog today on the Free Agent Frenzy on TSN kind of say the Oilers' goal heading into this offseason was to defend better. And I kind of sit here and I look at the moves they're making, like Zach said, and I'm going, I don't think this team is going to be defending better exactly. So, you know, Tyson Barrie, the offensive puck moving defenseman, two thumbs up. I like the deal. Again, unrestricted free agency. You always got to give a little bit. And I think maybe that extra year and the extra couple $100,000 maybe isn't ideal. But as far as free agent deals go, I don't mind the value here. I don't mind the player. We'll see how things turn out. Like, just going to be weird to see how they handle Evan Bouchard on the power play. Like, is Darnell Nurse going to be totally off the power play now? And are they going to do like Barrie for a minute, then Bouchard for a minute? It's a bit of an open competition. It'll just be interesting to see how it plays out. But yeah, I read a piece from Nugent Bowman today as well that kind of talked about how they did think Larson was coming back, and they had kind of closed the door on Tyson Barrie. And then when Larson dips, you kind of have to reevaluate things, and maybe scrambling isn't the best word, but it sounds like they were scrambling a little bit.
Another hole that the Oilers have in the lineup currently is the 3C position. There's a couple of names that we're talking about. I know Stauffer today on the show mentioned Derek Ryan. Ryan Getzlaff has been mentioned. Tyler, I know you wanted to mention Getzlaff.
Yeah. Well, we're getting a report. We got an early report from Kevin Weeks that said he was going back to Anaheim. And then Chris Johnson, I think Eric Stevens came out and kind of threw some cold water on that and said it's not done yet. And now we have Shane O'Brien, who does a podcast, former NHLer, obviously, who is reporting that it's a one-year deal for 4.5 with Getzlaff in the Anaheim Ducks. Hasn't been confirmed by a big-name insider yet, so it could still just be hearsay. But if Getzlaff is off the market, like Hall is off the market as well, I'm not sure, aside from Derek Ryan, how many good 3Cs there are still out on the market. And I think the Oilers kind of missed the boat, maybe not getting a guy like Nick Bonino, or potentially like Getzlaff just would have been a dream fit in my eyes. So I'm a little bit disappointed with how the 3C thing has folded out so far here today. Get everyone else's take on that, and then I have another question I'd like to float to the group after. But
who wants to jump in here? Dan, what do you think? Ryan Getzlaff seemed like a name that we kind of had hoped for here in Edmonton, but it may not happen.
Yeah, well, and in addition to Getzlaff going off the board, a lot of other, you know, quasi good 3C options did go as well. Holla was grabbed. Just trying to think off the top of my head, and I can't think of more. Bonino went to San Jose. So a couple of good options there did also fall off the board. So that's not great. The thing that I've seen floated around a few times is the option of maybe sliding Nugent Hopkins down into that spot. Now, as an organization, you may change that. Looks like Tyler, that was what Tyler wanted to touch on later. Yeah. But it's, you know, you wonder if Ken Holland's now going to pivot to trying to find further winger help and shift that to the 3C, the big 3C that everybody's dreamt about, with McDavid, Draisaitl, and Nugent Hopkins as your top three centermen. What that might look like for the team going forward.
I think it's fun. I love the idea of having those three stacked on top of each other, but I still think if you're going to do it, we need more wingers. You know, I think that you can't just play Nuge at 3C with with Fogle on one side and some corpse on the other side and be like, why aren't they producing any points? I don't get it. Like, it just, it can't be that way. If they go and get more skilled wingers to make it work, then great. And then obviously you can adjust where guys go. Maybe Hyman's with Draisaitl, maybe he's with Connor. You never know, right? Or like there's another option too that is probably going to start getting talked about here a little bit, is what happens if you just leave Connor and Leon together? And then all of a sudden Nuge is your 2C guy and he's got Hyman to his left or right. You know, that could also be an option. Having Zach Hyman in the mix and Nugent Hopkins resign kind of gives you some options there.
You guys are missing one thing, and I need to bring this up because it seems everyone's forgotten for some reason, but the Oilers still have Kyle Turris.
Finally, somebody's bringing an option
to play third center.
Gregor reported that he stayed in Edmonton to like really work on his game, and he's like, by all reports, very motivated to win a job next year.
We'll see, maybe. Right? Waz, you're making sounds over there. What do you got to say, buddy?
No, I just like the idea that Kyle Turris can maybe have like kind of a comeback season with the Oilers. That'd be interesting. I like it.
That would be interesting because, I mean, last year during free agency on the emergency podcast for ON Radio, we were all kind of excited about Kyle Turris. Dan, you got your finger up. What's up?
Some breaking news coming from Andy Strickland says that there is a second team in addition to Colorado who are vying for the services of Darcy Kemper.
And Darren Dreger is on top of that report as well, saying a better offer has been made by that second team, according to a source. So we might not be going anywhere here. We might be sticking around.
Can we know that
watch live on the air?
Could you imagine like a Koskinen plus trade goes to Kemper, goes to Arizona for Kemper?
So let's
never have it. Own it then.
Let's let armchair GM Yaremchuk hop in here and see what we can do. What if there was a deal that was Koskinen, Benson, and the first round pick? So there's a lot going the other way there. But what if you're getting Kemper? Maybe there's an extension, maybe there's not. But they're also throwing in one of their young centermen. Like, what if you're getting Christian Dvorak in this deal as well? So you're giving up, you're losing the money in Koskinen, you're paying a premium to get rid of that money. But in one sort of foul swoop, one move, you're getting a young 3C and you're getting your starting goalie. What if that's what this big offer is? Zach, you're nodding your head. You like the sounds of what I'm pitching?
Absolutely. I'm all over it. I'm really high on Christian Dvorak. I got to watch him play back in 2016 at the World Juniors, or sorry, not the World Juniors, the Memorial Cup that was in Red Deer here. I went down and covered it. I've been a big fan of Dvorak's game. Underlying numbers, tremendous player. The numbers really, really like Dvorak as a second line center. You know, you want to talk about adding some real flexibility to your forward group. If the Oilers were able to pull some kind of a trade like that, I would be all for it. Absolutely. Because then you've got a legitimate three scoring line team. Like, full stop. You know, you go McDavid and Draisaitl, you can run Dvorak or Nugent Hopkins as your second and third line centers there. You know, you've got guys like Kyler Yamamoto, Zach Hyman, Warren Fogle all coming into the fold here as well. That would be really potent. I'd be a huge fan of that.
We will keep an eye on what happens with Dweet. Are the Oilers the second team in on Kemper? You'd have to think that
yesterday that the Oilers had interest in Kemper.
That'd be nice.
That was the report.
Who were the other teams that were initially
Toronto was in, as well, but
they're off.
I wrote about
Carolina this won't be interested anymore. I'm not sure. Like, I'm trying to kind of figure out the goaltending market right now. Like, Seattle's out of the mix now. Like, Buffalo is still kicking around. They kind of need a goalie.
Buffalo needs a lot of things. It said Colorado, Philly, Toronto, Carolina, Edmonton. Carolina could still sign another goalie because they only have Freddie Anderson. They signed him 2 years, $4.5 million. The Leafs have Campbell and Mrazek. They just signed. Philly just acquired Martin Jones. Yeah. So they're probably out in Colorado is now without Grubauer, who's out in Seattle. Yeah, so Colorado makes some sense.
Colorado makes sense. And I wonder. Oh, go ahead, Zach.
You have to imagine the Oilers are in on a guy like Darcy Kemper, right? He checks the boxes for the Oilers. He's exactly what they'd be looking for to be a starting goaltender. Tyler, your Yaremchuk is fist bumping.
George Springer home run. Let's go.
No.
Let's go.
Unrelated.
That's right. That's right. I'm going to go tweet that's right from the Jays Nation account. Give me 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
You love to see it.
I think truly just wheeling and dealing today. Hey, like, we don't know what's going on.
I want to know how many of you guys think that it's realistic to expect Koskinen and Smith for a third tour of duty. Is that an option for the Oilers right now, or do they have to make a move?
I think they need to make a move.
Go ahead, Wasp.
No, I just think they got to make a move because you see all the mistakes that Koskinen made last year, and I think if you can land Darcy Kuemper and get rid of that contract, I think that'd be the ideal move right now. I don't think anyone's confident in having Koskinen come back and being a backup with Mike Smith. Like, unless Stuart Skinner or Stalock somehow secure a spot, I just don't see that happening.
As we're talking right now, I see Zach Hyman is doing his introductory kind of presser with the Oilers. It's cool, man. Best-selling author, as Zach Lang says. Two Zachs. And the not-so-common Z-A-C-H spelling.
You love to see it.
You just really do love to see it. Looking around the NHL, there's a one thing that I wanted to bring in. There was a couple of contracts that surprised me. One down in Calgary. Blake Coleman got some huge smoke from the Calgary Flames, didn't he?
Bradtree living, putting all his chips in the middle here. Like, this is his last crack, I think, to kind of to win with that group. Because if you're walking Goudreau to unrestricted free agency,
That's so good. I love that they're not blowing it up. Because they're going to sit there and they're going to wait and they're going to try it with this like wildly flawed, mediocre team. And you have Gaudreau's 1 year from free agency, Monahan's two. So if this is shit and Gaudreau has a season, then you're not going to get that much at the deadline. It's just perfect.
Dan, you're waving your finger.
Flames not going into rebuild. Great. Love to see it.
That's exactly it, Coob. You know, we talked about it on this podcast last year at the start of the season where it's just, you know, you look at that Calgary team and you're not inspired by them and they got worse. They lost Giordano, who was, you know, one of their top defensemen and their captain. Kachuk has taken a step back from what he was years ago. Johnny Gaudreau is not going to drive your offense for you. Blake Coleman, sure, he adds something to the team. But, like, that team is Jacob Markstrom or die? Like, I don't know. It's sad. It's not sad to watch at all. It's fun to watch as an Edmonton Weather fan, but yeah, it's been fun to watch Flames fans be excited about our moves this offseason because they have done nothing.
I'll tell you one thing right now. I can't hear what he's saying, but Zach Hyman has a huge smile on his face, and that makes me happy.
And a Gretzky Andy Warhol painting behind him.
I see that too.
Rashog just sending out some quotes here. Says Hyman says his wife hadn't had a chance to see Edmonton before, so he bought a ticket and came out with. And they came out together. Said, quote, checked a lot of boxes once she got here for a visit.
Went to
Well, yeah, let's see the water park. Of Edmonton really
saw the water, Alterdale Bridge.
It's the Talus balls, to be honest. It's got to be the Talus balls.
It's the smell. It doesn't smell like piss. He's over it. He's been in Toronto for 30 years. He's over the piss smell. It is what it is.
I wonder if they took a helicopter tour over the River Valley.
Maybe. They just checked in all of the boxes from the Danny Heatley DVD. They went to the bat on 97th Street, pushed it around a couple of times. Everybody enjoyed themselves. It was a good time. It was a really good time.
Michael Russo reporting that Nick Foligno has chosen the Boston Bruins. That was a guy who it was reported that there was some fringe interest from the Oilers in Nick Foligno, but it sounds like he's going to Boston.
I was just going to mention that, according to Emily Kaplan, Getzlaff and the Ducks are getting a bit closer, so... Looks like he's staying in Anaheim.
The interesting thing with, we talked about this a little bit, but if Foligno's back in Boston, that probably closes the door on Nick Ritchie going back to Boston. And if you're going to go with the strategy of sort of Nuge, Connor, and Leon down the middle, and you need better wingers, Nick Ritchie is a guy I'd have a lot of time for. Big bodies, coming off a year where he scored 15 goals. Nick Ritchie would be interesting for me if he's on a cheap enough deal.
Is there anybody, Tyler, you're plugged into like free agency in terms of just who may be available. Is there anybody else out there that kind of tickles your fancy considering what's happened so far in the day?
Tatar hasn't signed yet.
Thomas Tatar would be interesting if you're trying to load up.
Connection.
And I think, again, like I think his value so low after how things ended in Montreal that if you were to pitch to Thomas Tatar, you know, after you get your goaltending sorted out, like, hey, man, we're going to do this three center thing where we spread out our wingers and everyone's going to get a look with McDavid or Draisaitl. 1 year, $2 million. What do you think? Come here, light it up, do the Tyson Berry and whatever. Thomas Tatar would be a good fit if, again, the goaltending thing needs to be handled first. But if you're going the route of a winger, the big names are obviously Tatar, Brandon Saad, and Nick Ritchie is one that I would personally like to have them keep an eye on.
If you're keeping an eye on your own business, though, Tyler, I recommend our friends at Cornerstone Insurance. They've got products for auto, residential, commercial, life, whatever you need. CornerstoneIns.ca. Click on the old About tab, and you will see that for 90 years and four generations, Cornerstone has been a family and employee-owned business here in Edmonton. And on the left-hand side of the screen, citizens of the nation get a little discount on your insurance. Go make it happen. Save yourself a couple of bucks as the NHL GMs are giving out plenty of their owners' money today. It's overall just kind of, I know this is early. We're still at 2 o'clock here on day one of free agency. How would you grade the Oilers' roster turnover so far? Where they're at game four against the Winnipeg Jets, to where they're at today. Do you think, first of all, are they a better team? And if so, how much better? If you have the reverse, if they're not, how much worse? Tyler, you're making interesting faces.
Yeah, I don't know. There's change. So that's like exciting, right? So from that perspective of like giving a shit to talk about, I mean, we haven't gotten to the fact they bought out James Neal. There's change, but they gave up a lot to make that change happen. And they spent a lot to make that change happen. So that's why I'm just kind of sitting here and kind of wincing. And, you know, if I had to throw a letter grade on it, I'm going back and forth, like a C plus. Is that fair? They did, like, the Hyman deal changes it in my mind, though, because they did go out and get one of the best free agents on the market. B minus.
The problem is the blue line. Like, it's hard.
And we don't know what the goaltending is.
Yeah, we don't know yet. It's not a finished product. And it's also hard because a lot of it comes down to the Duncan Keith move still. I mean, this is exactly why I didn't like the trade in the first place. Is, you know, you committed to $5.5 million over 2 years for this guy, and it, just looking at who's gone where, like, I'd have rather thrown cash at Derek Forbort than gone and done that, right? Like, that's what it comes down to. Is, so you've now lost Larson and Kulikov, which was a fine shutdown pair. Kulikov was pretty ho-hum, Larson was very good, and now you have CeCe and Keith, and I have a very hard time telling myself that CeCe and Keith is superior to Larson and Kulikov. But Edmonton's better up front. They have Hyman now. Hyman's good.
Hyman, Fogle, and whoever the 3C is, right?
Yeah, that's better. And then it also, ultimately, if this offseason is positive and they're going to be better than last year, then it comes down to what they do with the goalie. If they replace Koskinen with somebody else, then sure, this offseason was a win. If they don't, and they go back with a shittier blue line, a better forward group, and the same bad goalie combo,
yeah,
it's kind of the same.
I gotta jump out of here, boys. So you guys enjoy Kemper Watch. I'm very sad that I'm leaving it, but my vacation duties call. So
any final thoughts on free agency before you go, Tyler?
If they find a way to swing a deal that involves Koskinen for Kemper, a lot will be forgiven in my eyes. If you have Darcy Kemper between the pipes next season, and we'll see how it plays out. Like, there's still a couple of moves that Ken Holland can make here, so it should be a ton of fun.
And there goes Tyler. We are losing him to his vacation. We've already lost Rick to the wind tunnel. Yeah. The tornado has thrown him into space.
Oh, I was going to ask one question to you guys. I know I should have brought this up earlier, but I just want to know, why was Ethan Bear such a valuable asset?
Zach, you want to jump in on this one?
This is more so just for the people who were kind of more so like hating on like Ethan Bear. Because there's a lot of people who were kind of against him. They thought it was a good deal that we traded him away. But it's like, why was he such a valuable asset to have?
Well, where do we begin? So I guess first and foremost, with a guy like Ethan Bear, he was a late round draft pick, right? So he's taken fourth, fifth round. So first of all, you know, the fact that he's actually stepped into the NHL and played 100, 200 games already in and of itself is a success story, because we don't typically see late round defensemen being able to do that. On top of that, he's a right shot. We know right shot defensemen are always more valuable than the left shot guys. For a guy like Bear, he's posted really, really strong underlying numbers analytically. That's actually shown his ability to be a strong two-way defenseman in the NHL. Now, eye test aside, because of course, yes, you know, the eye test shows that sometimes Bear isn't the best defenseman. He's not necessarily the biggest or most imposing guy. But for a young player to be able to control and push the pace of play, not only offensively, but defensively at such a young age, I think is exactly what made a guy like Ethan Bear so valuable. You know, you look around the entire NHL, there's a very small amount of players that fits that sort of a skill set. And it's similar to what happened with Jeff Petrie and the Oilers years ago. And something that I was actually looking at the other day is when you look at their isolated impacts in the offensive and defensive zone, Ethan Barrett, 23, 24 years old, is doing things that Jeff Petrie still isn't doing now that he's reached his early 30s. You know, so I think that's why a guy like Ethan Barrett has been so highly valued by so many people in this market.
Sam, what do you think about the fans that are kind of down on Ethan Barrett? And you said it earlier, they kind of sold low, really.
It is. Yeah, they, you said Dan, not Cam. My bad. Did you say Dan or say Cam?
I was just gonna say too,
like Zach covered the on-ice stuff, and Coom can cover it even better than I. But the thing I would say too is off the ice. Ethan Bear is a great ambassador for Indigenous youth. Does a lot of work within his own people to try and advance that group and move them forward. And that can't be understated. I know that's not a reason that you don't make a trade or don't make a transaction in a business, but it can't be understated for a guy like Ethan Bear. Coom, you go ahead.
Yeah, I think, I feel like memory is really short here for everybody. It's Ethan Bear wasn't very good last year. He really wasn't. Like, he was fine. He was especially not that great during the playoffs. I think one thing that specifically stands out to everybody was a turnover in game four that led to a key Jets goal. I can't remember if it was the overtime goal, to be honest with you. I've tuned a lot of that series.
It was the tying goal, I believe.
It was a tying goal. Yeah. I've tuned a lot of that series out of my brain for many reasons, but we're not very far removed from a 22-year-old defenseman playing 71 games and logging 22 minutes a night and putting up 21 points and having a very positive goal differential. I mean, it's very uncommon. You find players that do that. These aren't players that grow on trees. And the exact same logic was used years ago when the Oilers acquired Adam Larson. It's really fucking hard to find a good young right-handed D-man, and you have to trade Taylor Hall to get them. And now the coin has flipped, and it's like, okay, we have a good young right-handed puck moving defenseman, and he had a bad season, so let's get rid of him. It's to me, it just seems kind of short-memoried. He wasn't great last year. I touched on earlier, I think a lot of that comes down to the concussion he suffered. And again, it was just kind of like a sell low situation. You're telling yourself kind of this, what is he now, 24 years old? Yeah, he just turned 24 2 days ago. He's not going to continue getting better. Like we saw this with Jeff Petrie, right? He aged like a fine wine. His late 20s started to get really good. Justin Schultz, again, same thing. He broke out in his mid-late 20s. Like defensemen they're not forwards. They don't peak when they're 22. So it just seemed like an early sell. I wish they had given him a little bit more of a leash.
I agree completely. I really wish that Ethan Bear was still part of this team today. Here's the thing. Zach Hyman, you can talk about the term or the number, but there's no question that he makes the Oilers better today. Having Ethan Bear off the lineup, I don't know if that's the same thing. Warren Fogle, again, I'm excited about him. He's going to give some depth scoring, but the cost to acquire, I think when you're selling on a down year, is a little bit problematic, but we'll see what happens as we go here. Another thing I want to bring up, this one's a bummer for me, but I kind of saw it coming. Jujhar Kara signs a 2-year contract with Chicago for $975 per. He's the kind of player that when he's on his game, he's very effective in a bottom six and penalty killing role. However, he's also very streaky. He's a guy that you look back at a season from a couple of years ago when he scored 10 goals and you're like, yes, Jujhar, this is the guy. But then it kind of disappears a little bit, and then you combine it with hopefully some concussion issues that are behind him. That's a understandable but tough loss. I want to talk Jujhar Kara for a second. Zach, what are your thoughts on Jujhar going to Chicago?
Yeah, I loved him. Well, I don't love the fact that he's left the Edmonton Oilers. Let me make that clear. I was always a huge fan of Jujhar Kara. You know, the third NHL player of Punjabi descent. He broke barriers all along the way. To even play and have an NHL career. And I think that's incredible in and of itself. You know, I know there was a lot of talk about him potentially landing in Vancouver, given that he is a native of nearby Surrey. But, I always liked him as a player. I always had time for him on the lineup. He was sort of one of those guys that I was always willing to kind of overlook the analytics on, because I always felt that he brought a lot of intangibles to the Oilers' bottom six. He was a big, tough guy. He never shied away from dropping the mitts and standing up for his teammates. And on top of that, he's actually been one of the best penalty killers in the entire National Hockey League over the last couple of years. And I think that's something that is actually going to be really missed. And I think that the Oilers' penalty kill is going to be a lot different looking next year. Obviously, there will be Hyman who can step in there. A guy like Warren Fogle is also able to do so. Both of those guys had relatively strong success with their previous teams. So it's going to be an interesting blend, to say the least.
Dan, we've talked about Jujhar a lot on the podcast. We're all fans of him. Sad to see him go, but it's almost, I mean, understandable is maybe not the right word, but it's kind of like, shit, kind of saw this one coming.
Yeah, it's one of those things when you have a guy on your team for years and he's given opportunities to succeed, and he's unable to take those, you know, as a team, sometimes you just have to part ways. Love Jujhar Khera. I remember fondly dreaming of a time when Jujhar Khera would be our next Pat Maroon. Jason Gregor swooped in and dispelled me of that thought pretty quickly back in 2018, and he was absolutely correct now, and you know, it is what it is. Sucks he's going to the Blackhawks. Don't like the Blackhawks in general, and but I hope he does well there. That's it for me.
Waz, thoughts on Jujhar?
No, I loved him as an Oiler. I think Zach kind of put it on perfectly as well. Why I just enjoyed what he was, what he brought. It's a shame that he got a few injuries, a few concussions along the way, but he was always willing to fight for his teammates. And we don't have many players like that right now in the organization. So I don't know who's going to fill that spot, especially maybe if Zach Cassian steps out, if he gets dealt. So I don't know. He's a player that, he's very inconsistent, obviously, but there's a reason why he's in the bottom six. He played his role fine. Obviously, in the playoffs, he made some mistakes, but who didn't? There was a few players, right? It wasn't just him. So, I'm gonna be sad. It's sad seeing him leave, but I hope he excels in Chicago.
Another thing we haven't even had a chance to touch on yet. Huge, huge news week for the Oilers. James Neal buyout officially went through this morning. So that is 1.916 in dead cap space for the next 4 years. Oilers have $4.16 million in dead cap space this season. That's Neal buyout, that's Sakara buyout, and that is the remainder of what's left on the Milan Lucic retention. Cam, what do you think about James Neal buyout? It makes sense. Oilers save $3 million and whatever that is for year one and two, then some dead cap space going into three and four.
Yeah, this was always inevitable, and this is why the Neal for Lucic one-for-one, not really a one-for-one because Calgary got a draft pick, but, you know, basically the one-for-one was advantageous to the Oilers, is Lucic's contract is impossible to buy out, so the Flames will have him on their team until that's finished, no matter what, no matter how good he is, unless he, you know, develops a skin condition like Marian Hossa did, that kind of thing, whereas the Oilers, they acquired themselves a contract that was quite easy to buy out. This isn't a huge hit. They save some cash for 2 years, take on a sub $2 million cap hit for the 2 years after that, and I mean, honestly, Neal had a really cool burner for the Oilers in his first season with the team, and they got pretty good value out of that. He helped them win a whole bunch of games early on last year, so you got some value out of that. I still think that was probably the best trade that Ken Holland has made as the GM.
And Zach, cost them a draft pick as well.
The fact that Neal didn't even get 20 goals, but yet it's got prorated to 20 goals somehow. Anyway, who's counting that, though, by the way? Zach, go ahead.
So obviously the James Neal situation, I think you guys covered it all pretty well there. To bounce back to some Darcy Kuemper talk from earlier, Craig Morgan, who is a reporter down in Arizona, he's reporting that Edmonton is a team that definitely has interest, but they would need to shed Koskinen. And that was in response to Andy Strickland's previous report about a second team showing serious interest in Darcy Kuemper. So Kuemper watch is on full steam ahead right now.
Kuemper watch rages on as we get into the last half of Oilers Nation Radio emergency episode. Looking through Twitter quickly, Zach Hyman, quote from him, "I wanted to go to the team that wanted me the most." Here we are in Edmonton Oilers today. I think for the most part, people are excited about Zach Hyman. We'll complain about the contract another day, but not today. Not today. Looking through, I think I'm just kind of scrolling Twitter as you guys were talking here, and a thing that a lot of other fan bases, I'm always interested in what other fan bases say about team moves. A lot of them pointing at the Oilers defense. Is that a concern for you guys, as it is a joking point for other teams and their fans right now? Dan, I want to start with you. Let's talk a little defense. Are the Oilers bad on D?
Okay, so my thoughts about the Oilers D is, they were really good in the regular season offensively last year. One of the best offensive teams defensively wise. Then they went to the playoffs, and Ethan Bear said it best when he said that they were playing scared. And so for me, while talent-wise, this team isn't better on the back end, I believe that this team will be more confident going into tougher situations like they did against the Winnipeg Jets. I don't think you see as much tentativeness outside of their own zone as we did in the playoffs, but this team did play really well defensively in the playoffs, so there's that too. I would say skill-wise, we're not as good, but confidence-wise, we're probably better, which is a weird way to look at it.
Cam?
There's a lot of question marks here. One of them is, okay, so Duncan Keith logged a stupid amount of minutes last year for the Blackhawks, given his age. And the sentiment generally is if he comes in and goes down to playing 19 minutes a night, he'll be significantly better. Now, we don't know if that's actually going to be the case. He's 38 years old. Another one, again, as I mentioned earlier, was Evan Bouchard. How good is he going to be next year? Only played, you know, a handful of games in 2021. He, you know, watched from the press box most of the season. He didn't play in the AHL. He had some games in the second league in Sweden. We don't really know what to expect from that guy next year. Cody Ceci, same thing. Had a pretty good season in Pittsburgh, but are those skills going to translate? You know, did he have a great relationship with his, you know, D-pair partner? Did he, you know, get along with a coach really well? Did they teach him something? Is it different? Like, what's going on there? We don't know. There's so many question marks, but what I will say is that I think the Oilers' blue line will be kind of what Dan was saying. I don't know if it's a confidence thing. I think they're going to be tougher to play against. Duncan Keith isn't an easy guy to play against. He's the kind of guy who will cross-check you in the face. Cody Ceci is the kind of guy who will elbow you in the jaw. They're not going to be easy to play against, but I do kind of worry about the skill on the blue line. I don't think there's...
Yeah, puck moving is
going to be a bit of a challenge, and I really do believe the X factor is Bouchard. How good can he be in his first full season in the league? If he comes in and he's very good, then, you know, Cody Ceci's all of a sudden a third pairing guy and it looks a lot better, but that really is the big X factor. And it really is hard to, it's hard to look at this blue line on paper and say that it's better now than it was last year, because I think we might underestimate the extent to which Adam Larson is a loss. He was very good.
He's very, very good in terms of what he did in his job. He did it, you know? And I think that if your replacement is Cody Ceci, I think Oilers fans have kind of got to recognize that. It is. Cam's right. Evan Bouchard's the wild card here. Evan Bouchard is the guy who, if he steps up and he plays well beyond a third pairing right-hand defenseman, that you need that.
Yeah.
Right? You need him to succeed because he is a major cog in this. Essentially, it's the Oilers gave up. Well, they gave up Bear because Bouchard's here and Barry's here. So, you know, Bear's gone. So there's a lot. I wouldn't say a lot of pressure on Evan Bouchard, but there is some in terms of the decision made to have him as play a major role, which I think he can do, you know, limited at bats last year, but we'll see. Zach, if you're thinking about Evan Bouchard, do you think there's pressure on the young kid given what's happened on that blue line since the season ended?
Yeah, I think there's an element of it. You know, I think the fact that, you know, Evan Bouchard is expected to come in and be an everyday defenseman in the NHL this year for the Edmonton Oilers. Ken Holland has not shied away from mentioning that in any of the press conferences that we've heard. So, you know, the expectation is that Bouchard steps in and is a solid defenseman for the Oilers. Now, let's not forget that, you know, Bouchard has also has shown some success so far in his brief time in the NHL. Dating back to his days in junior hockey, he's ran the power play. He did that in the American Hockey League very successfully. And something else that's really important too is that Evan Bouchard also can kill penalties. It was something that he was doing down in Bakersfield for the Condors. And I think that's something that everybody has to keep in mind when we step into this next season. I think Bouchard's going to step in and be a really, really good defenseman for the Edmonton Oilers next year and surprise a lot of people.
Here's hoping, right? Like, we need him. I think, Dan, any final thoughts on Bouchard before we move into hot and cold performers?
I myself am excited that it kind of signals to me that this organization is ready to move forward with him. But it's absolutely a correct concern to have that a player in his rookie year may not live up to the expectations of the organization. Therefore, we're in trouble.
Deuce Vodka, of course, is the vodka brand from our friend Brett Kissel. If you look at his Twitter account, sometimes you will see him wearing Nation gear, and he's a very handsome man, very handsome and talented. Now he's got a vodka brand under his belt as well. Deucevodka.com. If you go there and click find in store, there's a store locator for all of the places where you can get Deuce Vodka and enjoy it responsible. Maybe free agency is so exciting to you that it is time for a Caesar or a cocktail. It'd be a vodka soda, it'd be delicious. DeuceVodka.com. Go check it out. As we do every week, we start with our veggies here. It is time for the cold performers. And this one's going to get interesting because there's more people here. Six of us. Nation Dan, you're first up on my screen. Your Deuce Vodka cold performer of the week.
My Deuce Vodka cold performer of the week is going to go out to people like myself who just see stuff on the internet and we take it for gospel. Recently, something leaked out from Elliot Friedman's podcast about how Adam Larson apparently doesn't like that Oilers fans were talking badly about him, specifically the trade is one for one line. That took fire and caught fire, and the Oilers Twitter has created another civil war around talking negatively about a player and how the player might see you talk negatively about him or joke about them. And it's all nonsense. It all turns out it was a misquote. Friedman didn't confirm anything, and he was just like you and I, wondering why Adam Larson wanted to leave Edmonton. So my cold performer of the week is going to be people like myself who don't do the research themselves and just take what other people say to be the gospel. Make sure you check your sources, people, before you get inflammatory. So that's my cold performer of the week.
Burr, burr. I also saw the tweet going around, and I heard the hit when Friedman was talking about it. And it was like Dan said, he was just kind of like thinking out loud is kind of what it was. It was,
but there's nothing, nothing confirmed.
It's like today when I said, I wonder if Ethan Bear wanted out of Edmonton. That is not a question based in any kind of factual reality. It is just me throwing out a thought.
Speculation.
Wondering if it sticks.
Chat. It's banter. Yes.
I was going to mention, I really hope Sportsnet does one of those like special pieces when like the Kraken play Edmonton, and it's like Adam Larson on why he left and whatever, like during the second intermission and whatnot.
I don't want to see it because it'll just make me sad. We've already lost Clefbaum and Larson. Our Swedish all-abs team is getting
They like to make sad things during intermissions and all emotional. I'm like, okay, sure.
Yes, they do. Zach, you're up next. Your Deuce Vodka cold performer of the week, sir.
My cold performer of the week is the elevators in my building. They went down last week, and we had a fire alarm at 11 o'clock at night, and I had to walk down 16 flights of stairs and then had to walk back up 16 flights of stairs not long after. So they're my cold performer of the week.
Burning the old legs.
Absolute quad workout. Cold.
Stair boys.
Stair boys. You're just getting ready for our Vegas trip, buddy. That's right.
That's right.
Coomzee, you're next up. Cold performer of the week.
I wasn't sure if I wanted to make this a hot or a cold, but I have one for hot, so I'm just going to make this my cold. I don't know if this will make any sense, but seldom do I say things that make any sense. So, cold performer, Toronto Maple Leafs, because they allowed the perfect player to fuck them over next year to sign with the Boston Bruins. Nick Foligno, who they aggressively overpaid for at last year's trade deadline and was a complete mess for them, accomplishing literally nothing, has signed a two-year deal with the Boston Bruins. So pencil in that he's going to score the game-winning goal in probably at least three overtime games in the Leafs' first-round series loss to the Bruins next spring.
Oh, that's cold. Of course, we're doing our own. We're doing our own sound effects here because Tyler doesn't have his board. He's not even here. Waz, you're next up. Deuce Vodka, cold performer of the week.
This is tough. I don't know where to go. I kind of want to.
Hey, Zoom.
Yeah, Zoom honestly screwed me over a couple times here, making things a little bit hectic. But I kind of want to go to the Oilers management and what they've kind of done with our defense, making it so I still feel like we need that shutdown defenseman, and the fact that we lost Adam Larson, it makes me feel uneasy about our defense going into next season. So I'll give it to the Oilers management so far. I like some of the players we brought in. I just don't like what we've given up so far. So.
My Deuce Vodka cold performer of the week is Oilers Twitter. And I'll tell you why. Some of the meltdowns that we've been witnessing on Twitter this week, I've never seen anything like it before. And I know that I like to make jokes and I like to crack, you know, just talk shit. That's what I like to do. A lot of people take it very seriously. A lot of people get very mad at me when I make jokes that I think are obvious jokes, but I guess it doesn't come off as an obvious joke on Twitter. However, I still get yelled at. I know everybody on this call and this Zoom call has been yelled at Twitter at some point, probably this week. So I'm going to say, Oilers Twitter, you are my Deuce Vodka Cole performer of the week. You all need to chill and relax. I'm upset too about things, but come on, man. Good Lord. We're just out having some fun. Hashtag fun.
Leave us I'm out. Upset.
Yeah.
Thank you.
My heart goes out to Zach because he made one post, one article. It's like, oh, another negative article from Zach. I'm like, what?
People just love content.
Yeah.
It's starting to sound like the Oilers are the other team that is in on the Darcy Kempfer
the other
trade. Craig like Morgan having, put it out there.
The other man in the affair.
Well, yes. Yeah. It is Joe Sakic versus Ken Holland. Oh, mano a mano for Darcy Kempfer.
This is going to be a wild one here, everybody. We may have to go to a fourth Zoom window, depending on if this actually goes through before the end of hot and cold performance. All right, well, let's flip the ledger. Little bright sides from the last seven days in our lives. Waz, we're reversing the order, starting with you. Dude's Vodka, hot performer of the week.
I'm going to go outside of the hockey world, and I'm going to go to the world I'm very familiar with, which is the soccer world, football world. And my team, Manchester United, signed one of the best defenders in the world for a good price. I'm happy with
that. Is it David Beckham?
No, it's Rafael Varane. Fantastic player.
More of a Michelangelo guy. Myself.
No, but it's a good deal, and hopefully we can push for a title next season, maybe. Our coach is really hit and miss, so we'll see.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Shout out to Manchester United. Put there some respect on my name.
There we go. Right. I like that.
Coombsy, you're next up. Deuce Vodka, hot performer of the week.
Blue Jays. Because they're coming home.
That's right.
You're going to a game soon.
I am. I'm going on Friday. That's and on exciting. Sunday. And on Monday. I'm going to 3 Blue Jays games in 4 days.
I'm
a
jealous.
Year and a half ago, I thought I was never going to watch a live baseball game in my life. And now here we are. The Blue Jays are back. It's going to be sick. It's going to be so fucking good. So that's a hot thing.
Oh, that's hot. No, what's the one? Dan, I need some buttons here. He's a hot guy.
There you go. Yeah, that's a good one.
Cam, how much is a ticket to a Blue Jays game? Just a general ticket to a Jays game these days.
So to get generals, it's like, it's not even like that expensive. It's just fucking impossible to get them because they're limited to 15,000 capacity.
Oh, right.
So what they did is they gave top priority to whoever's invested in season tickets for 2022. So if you purchase that, then you were front of the line for these games here, the opening weekend. And one of my friends bought season tickets, so he grabbed me a pair for this. And then after that, it was if you had purchased a flex pack for next year, and then it was Rogers employees, and then it was general public. They sold out in like 6 minutes. And I just happened to get one on Sunday randomly as well. So pretty big win for your boy, Coombsy.
So what are we talking about? $50? $100?
I got 100 level first base. A few rows back of the dugout for like $86 for the first game. Then I got up in the 200s in the second game for like $56. Not terrible. Like pretty standard.
Hashtag fun at the Jays game coming
That's
up.
That's right. Love baseball.
Zach Lang, you're up
one
next.
One sec, milk.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Pierre LeBrun just reporting that Ryan Getzlaff is finalizing the paperwork with the Anaheim Ducks $4.5 million for 1 year.
He sucks.
Breaking news on the podcast.
And he doesn't even say the Oilers were the top team. It was Dallas and Montreal that were showing stronger interest.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at that.
$4.5 million though for 1 year at Getzlaff. That would have been a spicy meatball here.
Way too much money.
Zach, you're next up. Deuce Vodka, hot performer of the week.
My hot performer of the week is Zach Hyman. He wanted to be an Edmonton Oiler from the get-go. The Oilers were granted permission to speak with him. They did so. They managed to convince Zach Hyman to come to the Edmonton Oilers. Zach Hyman is now going to be an Edmonton Oilers for multiple years. Let's just put it that way. We don't know what's going to happen by the end of the contract. Right now, he's an Edmonton Oiler. He wants to be an Edmonton Oiler, and he is going to help the Edmonton Oilers in a big way.
That's hot. Huh?
We don't have a lot of hot buttons.
No, we need more hot buttons. Dan, you're next up. Deuce Vodka, hot performer of the week.
Well, my Deuce Vodka, I've been sampling some Deuce Vodka before I did this one. Deuce Vodka, hot performer of the week, is going to go out to all of the outgoing Edmonton Oilers. I'm going to miss some of them in my list because I just wrote it up right now. It's Caleb Jones, it's Adam Larson, it's Jujhar Kara, it's Gaetan Haas, it's Ethan Bear, it's Tyler Ennis, it's James Neal, and maybe Mikko Koskinen. All of you guys, there's some great memories with each of those players. the moniker "once an Oiler, always an Oiler" will always live on, and so you're always an Edmonton Oiler in our hearts. Wish the best of luck to all those players with their new teams or their retirement, if some of those players opt for that. But you guys are all my hot performer of the week.
You missed.
It's getting hot in her.
I'm gonna list off some names that you missed.
Yeah,
Joachim Nygaard and Gayton Haas.
Of course, I said Haas. Legends.
Oh, you said Haas?
Yes.
Okay, my bad. Sorry. Kulikov.
You said Kulikov? Oh yes, of course, Kulikov.
And no, I didn't say Kulikov. Dylan Wells.
Ah yes, yes, Dylan Wells.
How could you miss we welcome Wells, Dan?
We welcomed in future considerations, though.
I was distracted by future considerations.
When you get the chance to get a future considerations jersey, you got to get it, you know?
And then proceed to make a trade with them right afterwards and don't get any future considerations from it.
Okay, I'm just looking at a little bit of Twitter before I give my picks. They'll know Darcy Kemper. We'll see. We'll see. My Deuce Vodka hot performer of the week is actually a future where we're able to use all the Fogle gifs we've ever wanted. Anytime Warren Fogle scores, I love McLovin. Everybody loves McLovin. I'm looking forward to it. I may be sad about Ethan Bear, but I'm going to find a bright side in this one, and it's the Fogle gifs. That's it. McLovin all around. We've been making them already. I saw Dan made a Photoshop already. It's begun. It has begun. Warren Fogle, if you're going to come to Edmonton, give us an opportunity to use gifs. And I thank you for it. Hot performer of the week. Dan, I need a button.
What is it? I put that on everything.
Yes. Dev Harvey's voice, wheels up.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Skirt. We could also give a hot performer of the week to Nation Network insider, Greg Saravalli. Huh?
I think I gave him one last week, so he can only have one.
All right. Well, then I'll give it to my dog, Frank. He does good stuff, too. He's predicted all kinds of things. You just don't know about it. It's been a minute. All right. Last look at Kemper Watch. Nothing new. There's nothing new here. So we're going to shut it down. And I guarantee you, as I say goodbye, this is where that trade happens.
Watch, I guess, just be, before we... Linus Ullmark has apparently signed with the team. We just don't know yet. Maybe it's Edmonton.
Would you guys be happy if the Oilers parted with their first in 2022 as part of the package for Darcy Kemper? Like, let's just follow it through. Would you be okay with that?
Yes, in a sense. Depending on how deep we go next season, that's the big question mark. If we went, like, let's say third round, maybe, yeah, I'd be fine with that.
Zach, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm all in. The Oilers need to seriously address their goaltending, and I think Kemper's the number one goalie that would seriously help the Oilers. So, yeah, I'm in for it.
Coombsy?
No, I don't. I have to know exactly, like, what's going on there. If they give up a first and they also take Koskinen back full on, and there's something else coming back, like maybe a prospect or a middling guy, like a winger, like maybe Phil Kessel half retained or something like that, then sure. But Kemper was pretty bad last year. He's had a lot of injuries. It's also like his numbers might be inflated because the Coyotes are actually pretty good defensively. So I think that's a bit of a gamble for a guy with only 1 year left on his deal. I just think there's better goalies out there if you're going to throw away your first round pick.
Dan?
The only thing I'll say is we can't go forward with a tandem of Mike Smith and Mikko Koskinen, one or the other, and we've signed Mike Smith, so to me, we have to replace Mikko Koskinen. And while Coom is right, absolutely correct about Darcy Kemper and the question marks there, if the cost of acquisition is to have him come in and Mikko Koskinen out, I'm okay with that still.
We'll see what happens. It's day one of free agency. This is the emergency podcast. Waz, good luck piecing this one together.
That'll be interesting.
Three separate Zoom calls it took to get this one in, but we did
best wishes.
We
made it.
So I am Bag Milk from Waz, Coom, Zach Lang, Dan, Rick, Tyler, and the great Gazoo. This has been Oilers Nation Radio episode 150. Mm-hmm. Free agency still goes on. We may be back, or we may not. Thank you again to Sherwood Ford, Bixler's Jewelers, Cornerstone Insurance, and Deuce Vodka for making it all happen. And for you listening, we'll be back on Friday at our normal bat time and the normal bat channel. Thanks, everybody.
I'm so excited Coom is here. Shout out Rick's wind tunnel.
Best wishes.
Thanks for listening to Oilers Nation Radio, delivered by DoorDash. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.